John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from someplace, from heaven. So even John the Baptist, was it because he was such a great person in and of himself that he came on the scene and he had that message? And we have him written in our book. He was a great man. Well, he may have been a great man, but he didn't do that because he was a great man. He did that because of the grace that came on him. Brother, why is this so important? You're going to see why it's so important. Go to Romans 1. This is Paul talking to the Romans. He says, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Now, wait a minute here. Paul's saying that he wants to impart unto them a spiritual gift. How could a man impart a spiritual gift? Do men impart spiritual gifts? No. But what's he talking about here? He knows the office that he stands in. He knows who he is. He knows the measure of faith that he has. He knows the grace that is on him, that if he could just get there, if he could just get over there, he could get them to a place where they couldn't be without him. Is it because of himself? No. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He had a specific grace that enabled him to do exactly that. He knew that if he could just get there, then that grace would come on them. This is starting to make sense? I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Say established. Established. What was one of the things Paul was called to do? Establish. It was part of his call. He was called an apostle. An apostle is one who's sent to establish. He knew that if he could just get there, he would be able to establish them correctly. If they received him. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. Some people aren't established where they should be established because they aren't receiving the one who was sent to them. They think he's arrogant. They don't like him. They don't like the way he looks, dresses, blah, blah, blah. Something offends them so that they can't be established. Were they going to be established if he couldn't get there? And is it a man? Everybody needs the man? No, it's the gift, the grace of God. He could receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. We have people in the body of Christ all over the place, and they're not in connection with anything. Are they going to be established? They need to be established, but they're not connected where they need to be connected. They're not under the authority of that God set up in his word. So they're going to miss the establishment. Do you want to be established? Yes. You're going to see that the ones who are connected here are going to be established in the things that we're called to establish. I mean, this isn't rocket science here. If you're called to be in some other church, then you go over there and then you're established in the things they're called to, right? But you don't just do it on your own. Because there's a grace and an anointing there. And you understand, I can only go so far with this unless you're going to pull and believe. Let's pull and believe. Do we want to be established? Do you believe God has something for you? Do you believe he has something for you here?
Yes.
I want to take this another step, but we got to get this established. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We can do this. We can do it. Hallelujah. We can be established in the things of God. We can be established in the Spirit of God. We can be established in the gifts of the Spirit that are here and that are able to function and flow. Is it because of me? Is it because of my greatness and my oratory ability?
Well, obviously not, brother.
Is it because of my mighty bow tie? It's the grace of God. Well, I happen to be, I'm not comfortable going here either, but I happen to be graced for certain things. And this, and it's not puffing myself up. You're graced for something too. But I happen to be graced for certain things. And if you'll receive that, just like they had to receive him. Oh, you're saying you're like the Apostle Paul? Well, no, I'm not the Apostle Paul. But I'm graced for certain things that if you'll receive it, it will take you to a level where you'll be established in something that you couldn't get there on your own. And it's not because of me. It's not because of me. I'm goofy behind the scenes just like you. Well, maybe not that goofy. No. Hallelujah. But there's a grace that comes upon me, and it's not just for me, it's for you. But if you don't receive me and you don't receive that grace, you can't get there. And I pray about this. I really do. It becomes a weight on me, just like the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, I strive over these things, the praying for the churches. It was a work that he had to do, and he had the responsibility to get these people there. Because of him? No, because part of what you're called to do, and I'll say it, part of what you're called to do requires the grace that's on me to fulfill that. Does that mean you have to dominate me? No, I'm telling you this. Now, you can either receive it or throw it out the window, but it can take you there. I found this with many of the people that I was under. I didn't get this on my own, you know. Get what? The grace that's on me. I got it from other people, other men of God who paid a price and sat under other men of God for years. And like I said, I'm not real comfortable with this type of message because it has the sense of kind of self, you know, puffing yourself up. But that's why I read these scriptures. It's not about puffing yourself up. But it's about recognizing the anointing and flowing with it. Some of you recognize it. Some of you'll see it. And if you can receive from that anointing, it will take you to a level you couldn't get there before. Why even go to church if it's not that way? When I first met Ed Dufresne and pulled into his parking lot there, I knew and met him, saw him. I knew I had to have what he had. So I cleaned his toilets and vacuumed his rugs and did whatever just so I could be there. And I got some of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like this. I think you're just trying to puff. No, I read those scriptures specifically to tell you this, that there is an anointing here and a grace here that if we can connect with, it will take you there where you want to be. And the earth is filled with people who don't know anything about it. They don't want anything to do with it. And they don't recognize it. They're blinded to it. They don't see the value of being involved, of submitting themselves to an anointing. I know you start using that word, submit. But what are you submitting? Are you doing it for your own good? I mean, are you doing it because the person is so great? No, but you're doing it because you see something that you want and you know the effects of it. And it's all from God, people. It's from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Hallelujah. Part of my desire is to see you. And how many times have you heard me say that here? Part of my desire is to see you established in what God has called you to do. It's not to puff me up, but if you can receive from me, I will be able to go farther, do you understand? Jesus even said, if you receive, you know, a righteous man, you receive the right, in the name of a righteous man, you receive the righteous man's reward. Well, you have to receive me in the correct capacity, otherwise you're not going to receive the reward that you can get from the grace that's on me. Is this starting to make sense? Yes. Sounds like you're puffing yourself. I know, it's different. Let's do you preach this message and try to get it to come across the right way. Hallelujah. Shoo. Where'd we leave off? Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Could this, let me ask you a question, could this be the same man? What if you only received the prophet as a righteous man? Well, then you don't What reward are you going to receive? You're going to see the righteous man's reward. Are you people here?
Yes.
We would hope that the prophet would be a righteous man, right?
Yes.
He could be the same man. But this is exactly, I'm putting the finger on it right now. Brother's putting the finger on it. You'll only get what you receive out of someone. If you're only receiving me, and I've heard this said before. If you're only receiving me, as a good teacher or whatever, he's a good teacher. He likes to teach. He's teachy the word. He doesn't speak well, but he teaches. Hallelujah. If you only receive me as a teacher, you won't receive the other things that are there. There are things there that can establish you where you need to be established. Hallelujah. Oh, kick something. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Yes. Glory be to God forever.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes, we've got to watch out for the familiarity thing. It doesn't mean I don't want to be friends with you. But sometimes when you get on that friendship level, you start to miss the anointing. Is this making sense?
Yes.
This would make a lot more sense if it wasn't coming for you. Hallelujah. But it depends what you want. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go with the things of God? And that's the other thing, all the way. That's what I've said. You've got to allow in your own psyche, the way you think about things, to allow people to change and to step up into other places. That was the problem in Nazareth. They could not get Jesus as a little boy out of their head. He came into town as the mighty prophet, and they were like, little boy in my head. They didn't allow for that person to progress. And just like I've got to allow for you to change and to step up into other things and other areas and become the person you're called to be, you got to do the same thing for me. And when you start to hear something, and you start to hear a tone, and you start to hear something that's greater than you might have heard before, a new anointing, a new wave coming in. Ride the wave.
Yes.
Whether you like me or not. And it's important because you can only receive, and I can only operate and function in the things that you will receive. If you're only keeping me at righteous man, what are you going to receive? Righteous man rewarding you, and you're tying my hands to where I've got to be to get you to be established. Brother. Hallelujah. We're almost there. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You feel it? I feel it in the air. It's like, shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. It's not a scriptural word. But we can get there. Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. That's almost, old Shakamahandai tongues there. Yield to it. Just say shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. Shimmy, shimmy. No. Hey. Jesus is Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Did you ever see that before, though? Receive the prophet in the name of the prophet. Receive prophet's reward. Receive the righteous man in the name of the righteous man. Did you ever think they were the same person?
No.
Never. Welcome to my world. Hallelujah. Now, flip side of that, I hate to kick over your sacred cow here, but if you're receiving a righteous man in the name of a prophet and they're not a prophet, should we even go there? You're opening yourself up to all kinds of weirdness, okay? Does that go on in the body of Christ today? Are you kidding me? It's huge. The people calling themselves prophets and they're just a righteous man. You can receive that part. They're good people. They're doing good things. That's why I said don't think of someone beyond where they're at, beyond the word. But this is why we need the leading of the Lord. This is why we need the inward witness. This is why we need to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Hallelujah. Did you get there yet? Hang on, I got to get there. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 20. And they arose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Now we're good with the established part, right? Believe in the Lord your God, shall you be established. But you can be established in something and not prospering. When you believe what? His prophets, which means you're going to believe what they say. Then you'll prosper. What if you didn't receive what the prophet said? If you didn't believe it, then you're not going to prosper. Brother, you calling yourself up? I'm not calling myself anything. I barely even call myself the righteous man there, okay? But you let other people call you the things. And they can call on you and they can pull things out of you. I've been here 100 times. Or I'll just be saying something and people come up to me after the service and they'll say, "Who told you about that?" And they'll think I'm talking right to them and I had no idea. I'm just up here blabbering away like I do on Sunday mornings. And yielding to the Spirit of God. And God can deal with things. And God can speak things and say things and make corrections. I believe it's happening even this morning. It's making people being corrected and changed, and I really have no idea. Even the prophets don't have even though they may have a revelation or whatever and be saying things, they don't always know what's going on. God never said he was going to give you all knowledge about a situation. It's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a fragmentary part. And we wouldn't want to know everything about anybody, would we? Goodness gracious. Have to get all that junk out of your head. I'm going to read that again because I can. So do you believe that there's more here? That if you can give respect to, and you can give to the anointing. Okay, hang on. I'm not just talking about me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the anointing that you can see and perceive and hear and understand. And there are times when you step over into a different place, in a different realm, and there's a different tone. And you can hear it. I do it all the time when I'm listening to people preaching and stuff. I go, "Wait a minute. I recognize that. That sounds different." And you can even see it in people's while when they're speaking. Sometimes it's a different tone. Paul said that while he was writing. He said, "Now this is by the Spirit of God, and this is me saying it. And this is my opinion, but this is by the Spirit of God." How could that be? Different flows, different waves, you could say, different anointings, and you can ride on those things. And I know it when I'm up here talking. There's different times when I'm saying something. It's just, I didn't think of it. It just came out, and I'm just going with it. Just going with it. And honestly, sometimes it's my own head that makes me stop because I know something about a situation. And you get right in somebody's face and you're sitting there, stomping on their toes. Your head gets involved. You stop. I don't know if you got that or not. Hallelujah. The end of 2020 says, 2 Chronicles, "O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Oh God, help us. Let's say you come over to my house. Okay, let's come over to your house. You come over to my house and I'm preparing a nice meal for you.
Yeah, I would be.
Or my wife's preparing a nice meal for you. And you sat down to eat it. And you're like, "Oh, thank you for inviting me." And the whole time you got the look on your face like you're trying to find something wrong with it. You're looking for toenails in there or something. Did you add those afterwards? Like, out the toenail shaker? You keep the toenails and you shake it on there. You don't do that? It's like, I'm never coming over to your house. Are you going to enjoy your meal?
No.
You're constantly, you know, I'll get with that in a minute. But if you're coming over, now, would that be offensive to, let's say I go over to Lynn's house and you make a nice meal, right? And I'm looking for like a hare or small rodent or something. Number one, am I going to enjoy the meal? No, I'm going to be constantly looking for, now, if you did find a hare, then it would be like, then probably the rest of the meal, you'd be like, oh, wait a minute here. I've had that happen before. Restaurant or something. But do you go back there? You don't. Because your constant, your focus would be, is he going to give me the right thing? Is there something weird in here? You know, like at a Chinese food restaurant. You really don't know what you're getting. Oh, brother. Stay on track here. Hallelujah. But you're not going to be able to eat the meal because you are questioning consistently whether it's the right thing, right? Or is there something corrupt in there? What is that going to do? Now flip that over into the realm of being in a church or a society or whatever you want to call it. And every time the preacher says something, you're like, whoa. And if you can't open up and receive what's being, then he's going to be limited in his ability to get things over to you. And some of that I understand. If you're only there for a short period of time, you're going to have issues and you got to sit back and you got to judge and you got to make sure. And I'm not telling you can't judge the word. But you should be able to know after a period of time the character of someone and that they're not going to be. Like if I go, I've eaten at Lynn's house many times. I never go over there and paw through my food looking for small rodents and hares. Or toenails. Right? Where do you come up with this stuff? And I enjoy the meal. And I get nutrition out of it. Enjoy the fellowship and the things that are there. Do you understand? Because there's more here than people have been giving credit to. And we got to get over that because we can go there when we finally get there. I don't know if any of that made sense. There's times when I bump up against certain walls in the spirit. You know, how are you going to describe this stuff? You're bumping up certain walls in the spirit, and I need the door to be open on your end so I can walk through it and play with the goods. You get into this spirit realm, you know, you don't really know how to describe everything all the time. But that's the way it is. And then other times in certain meetings, I'll be able to just, hello, how you doing? Thank you for inviting me in. This is what's happening. And is it because of me? No, it has really little to do with me. It has to do with you receiving the grace that's on me or anyone else that you're dealing with. Right? It's just, this doesn't just apply to me, but I am talking about myself here in a way because there's things I got to get over into, and I'm going to. And if people don't like it, they end up rejecting the whole thing. I don't like the way you cook your sauce. Go over here. Lynn, she puts all this flavor in it. Not used to flavor. Right? I just snorted. Hallelujah, thank you. Hallelujah. Ah, hee-ha. But Paul longed to see people that he could do what? Impart something unto them. And I don't know, some of you understand that since you've been here, certain things have taken place. You've had wisdom, revelation that you never had before. And believe me, it's not me. You know, it's not me, but I've been graced for certain things. And when I can walk in those things, it'll establish you to the place where you've never been able to be established before. And you might have tried, and you might have tried to get there. Why does God do it this way? I don't know. But this is what his word says. If they'd have rejected Paul, they would not have been able to receive the impartation that Paul wanted to give to them. And then they wouldn't have been established in the way that they wanted to be established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Go to Mark 6. Mark 6. Glory be to God forever. And this isn't a little milk sermon here. It's not. Where's my bottle? This is not a baby sermon. Goo ga. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you want from me? Would you rather I just be, you know, righteous man? Would you rather I just, you know, be the pastor that comes in, shakes the hands, plays the patty cake, gives you a nice, you know, encouraging word for the week, and hurries up so I can get to the buffet line, give you a 20-minute homily, and a synopsis of current events, keep you abreast of the facts? What do you want? I would think that you would want the most out of me that you could get out of me. I mean, I should be trying to run as fast as I can just to keep up with the stuff you're pulling out of me. Hallelujah. Right? When you talk about your pastor, what do you want to talk about? Well, he's stupid. No. And goofy. Or do you want to talk about somebody who's anointed? And the power of God just radiates in that place. And I'm prospering. Because I go there, I'm prospering, I'm telling you. I go there and something happens to me, and I don't even know what it is, but it's like, you know, have you ever taken a magnet and then you take like a screwdriver? You've probably done this. Take a strong magnet, you stick a screwdriver on it. What happens to the screwdriver after all? You leave it there overnight. It gets magnetized. Somehow I go there and I'm magnetized to the point where things just happen that didn't happen before. And I'm telling you, that's the case. It will be there. And I do have that capacity and that grace on me to impart to you where you'll get something that you couldn't get apart from the magnet. And it's not, you know, did the magnet make itself that way? No, it was created that way. Is this too scientific? Good, because I would have lost myself a long time ago. And am I puffing myself up here? No, I'm not, but I need to get you to a place where you can bring more things out, because you need to receive things that actually I've got. Yeah, no wonder I was laughing last night. I need it right there. Hallelujah. Shoo. Did I tell you to turn somewhere? Yeah, I think so. No? Mark 6. Thank you. Mark 6, 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about their villages teaching. What happened to Jesus in Nazareth and in the villages round about? All he could do was teach. All he could do was teach. No, are you putting down teaching? No, I'm not putting down teaching, but I'm telling you, you can teach in such a way that you step over into other offices and other anointings where it actually does something to the person hearing it rather than just a bunch of information. And this is what Paul was trying to get across to the people that were following Apollos and him. He said, there's different graces on each one, and don't put another one on a different level when you shouldn't. But there's graces that are there. And Paul, chapter 14 of Acts, said he was a prophet and a teacher. Now, if they'd only received him or didn't receive him, he would only have been able to teach. Remember, what would he do? He'd go in and begin to preach in their synagogues and teach the people. And eventually, when they started to believe it, say believe, when they started to believe the words, he was able to step over into another place. But if it's kept resisting it, and, oh, we'll hear about this tomorrow, or we'll hear about this again, and we'll hear, and then we wanted to stay on that one level, we can't do it. If we're going to establish the things that we need established, you've got to hear the word of the Lord.
Right.
How far do you want to go? Because it's that grace exchange that will take you there. And I know, you know, I know certain things about my call, but I'm not going to talk about them. You know, unless God specifically tells me to, I tend to believe, you know, down along that line is, you know, you don't go around. It should be evident. You don't need to say, oh, you're this and you're that and you're the other. It should be evident that you got to receive the person for it to be evident, you understand. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Did I read that? Glory be to God forever. He marveled because of their unbelief. Here's Jesus in Nazareth marveling at their unbelief. What didn't they believe in? They didn't believe in him. And it made the Lord Jesus. Did you know that? That Jesus Christ himself could be in here, up here, giving the message today. Yes, brother, that would be much better. He could be here today giving the message, and if we only received him as a teacher, as a nice man. Do people do this?
Yes,
oh, the Lord, well, he's a nice man. He was a nice man. Really? Did you ever read what he said? I don't know if you read it. He's not really that nice. Read his word. I don't think you're reading his word to call him a nice man. Woe be unto you. Whoa, that's a nice. He was not being nice. Where do they get nice man from? That's what they want. They see, because they really don't know him at all. When you get to know someone spiritually, you'll be able to go where they wanted to go. Could Jesus have gone farther here in Nazareth if they'd received him? He was marveling at their unbelief in him. Why was it? Familiarity. They were connecting all this other stuff. Well, we don't, you know, and it'd probably be like that in your family, you know. I would think, you know, my mom and my dad and sister and stuff, they're probably like, I don't know. I mean, I could try to prophesy or something over their head. They'd be looking at me like, what is wrong with you? But they're not receiving anything beyond me being snot-nosed Andy or whatever, you know. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said a prophet's not without honor. Where's he get his honor from? And where do you get the honor from? Hallelujah. He gets the honor by operating in those gifts and the graces that he's called to. Okay, let's go on here. Brother, I don't know if I like this meal. I think I found a toenail. Ew. I'm hoping that it's a shell from a shellfish or something. Where did I say go? We're getting there, people. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Sarah, I didn't tell you. Excuse me. Yes, thank you. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Who's saying something here? Don't make me go down this trail. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me and proved who? Tempted who? Who's saying this? The Holy Ghost. Then they tempted the Holy Ghost. They proved the Holy Ghost, me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved. Here again is another verse where it says the Holy Ghost can be grieved. With that general. Now, let me just take a little side trip here. Where do you think the Holy Spirit was grieved when they didn't receive Jesus? Because he could there do no mighty works. Well, who wanted to do the works? It was the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was on Jesus, who went about doing all good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It was the Holy Ghost doing the works. But they didn't receive Jesus, they didn't believe on him, and therefore they could not be established in the healing that was theirs. They couldn't be established in the prosperity that was theirs, because they rejected the Holy Spirit by rejecting his messenger. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their where? In their hearts. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Who's my rest? Who are we talking about here? It's the Holy Ghost again. They're not going to enter the rest. They're not going to enter the prosperity. They're not going to enter the place where they're supposed to be, because they're not hearing the word of the Lord. They've blocked it off as good teaching. They blocked it off as a righteous man, when there's more there. And if you can hear it, it can take you there. Those words. Hallelujah. Almost done here. Glory be to God forever. Go to chapter 5, Hebrews. Hebrews 5, 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Were the people in Nazareth dull of hearing? Yeah. They were dulled by what? Knowing Jesus, seeing him in that light, not respecting the anointing that's on him. And it's not because of the man, you understand. See, but they had a hard time getting beyond that. Your family's going to have a hard time seeing you as something other than what they were familiar with all the time. But other places didn't. Jesus walked into, you know, the towns next door. They were like, whoa, who's this? He was able to flow because they were receiving him as something else. Glory be to God, to whom we have just one thing to say. We have many things to say, hard to be uttered. There's certain things that can be said. Is there anything that could be said to you, do you believe, that could just radically change your life forever? Don't we pray about this stuff? Don't we seek the Lord to hear from him, that I may take that next step, that I may go? I do. I pray, God, help me to see, help me to hear, help me to know that I can take that next step. Paul here saying, I have many things to say to you, but I can't get it across. It's hard for me to utter it because you're dull of hearing. Hallelujah. You should come and pull and know that the Lord is going to speak to you in the morning. Yes. You can hear things. You hear the Spirit of God like a wind come in the room. Shake and rattle your bones. Turn you out on the right side and put you in where you're supposed to be. You can rise up and be that man. Your family who didn't know anything about you before. Sometimes you have to kiss them goodbye and say, see you later. You're not receiving me of who I am. Oh, you're stuck on yourself. I'm not stuck on myself. I'm stuck on the living God, and I'm going to go and I'm going to be, because I care more about him and his anointing than what anybody else says. And I believe the Lord, and I believe what he says to me, and I profit by it. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, when? Today. And he said he had things to utter, but it was hard for him to get it out because they were dull. Dull of hearing. What? Dull of hearing. What? Yes, they couldn't hear it. There are things that you can hear that will take you there. There are things in the spirit that you can literally hear. What, you remember the who was it? When they heard a voice and it said, come up. Come up yonder. And I think it was John also on the island of Patmos. He said he heard a voice and it said, come up yonder. How do you think he got up there? It was by the word that said, come up. How do you think you're going to go up to the next place you need to go? It's going to be the word of the Lord coming to you and saying, come up. And then you're going to climb on that ladder that takes you up. What if he was dull of hearing? Instead of come up, he heard, mm-hmm. You're like, what was that? Peter heard, come, on the water. He stepped out of the boat. Just one word, come. And that's all he needed. He was able to do a miraculous thing, walking on water by one word. But he heard it. The rest of them didn't hear that. They didn't even want to hear it. They were all, you know, we're going to die, we're going to die, and there's a ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing who's dull of hearing. Now, could he have uttered it? He knew he had something to say. I tell you, many times I'll get up here, I know I got something to say, but I can't get it out. But we're going to do this. We're going to increase to the place where we can have a free flow of the Spirit of God. Because we're the Holy Ghost Society, we should do this well. Right? We should be able to hear the Spirit of God. We should be able to move with Him and know Him. And there should be a flee. There should be a free flow of the things of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There's no toenails in this morning, people. That is not a toenail. No, that looks like a toenail. No, that is not a toenail, I'm telling you. Okay. Hallelujah. I'll end with this, John 1. Well, think about that. This message this morning was hard to be uttered. Can you see that? From my perspective, it's a hard message to utter.
Well, couldn't you just say it?
No. Look at my notes. No. I have to get these things out. I have to connect with the Spirit of God and follow the place that He's going and say the things that He's saying. It's the only way we're going to have promotion. It's the only way you're going to get your answer in many situations and instances. And it's there, but we're not going to get it apart from God and His methods, are we? Didn't we just read that Paul had things to tell them, but he couldn't get them across because they were dull of hearing? Try not to beat you up here too much this morning. Brother, that's a rough message. Hallelujah. Told you this wasn't baby food. John 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you. Do you think that Jesus had a hard time getting, even people that received him, his disciples, the one time he said, you got to eat my flesh, drink my blood. He had to say these things, and they had a hard time with it. Is there anything at all in the Bible that you have a hard time with, and people have a hard time? Well, so what, are we going to throw it out like it's a toenail? Church does that, don't they? We don't like that. Toenail. It's not a toenail. It's the word of the Lord. That should be the title of this message. It's not a toenail. It's the word of the Lord. I can find a nice graphic on my foot. How many times has the church rejected the word of the Lord, thinking it was wrong, thinking it was heresy? When tongues came back on the scene, the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street, most of the church said, no. And the healing movement came. Nobody liked that either. Eventually, they accept it. Well, what toenail's coming next? You don't know, you know? But we need to know the Spirit of God. You err in two ways, not knowing the Spirit of God or the Word. And if you know the Word and you know the Spirit of God, you won't err. And you should be not dull of hearing. You should be ready to hear. You know His voice. You hear him. You know the anointing. And even though it might be saying something you didn't hear before, something you were incapable of going to before, but you recognize the voice. You recognize the tone. You recognize the grace and the anointing, and you can go there. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We can follow him because we know his voice. We know that the things that are coming to us are good. We know the things that are coming from the Spirit of God are there for our benefit. Hallelujah. We know that if we can enter into an exchange together, we can hear his voice and go forth. Did you see that? The porter opens the door and they go forth and they hear his voice. And I have many things to say to you, but they're hard to be uttered. We need to have that door opened. We need to have that door of belief and resistance opened so that we can enter in together. So that we can be partakers of the fullness of what God has called us to. And sometimes it's not comfortable, but we have to recognize the voice, know the voice, and believe that we're not being led into some wrong direction. And believe me, I give you people much credit already to even be here at all in a church with a name like that. Or worse. You had to have seen something. You had to have known something. You have to know that there's something there for you. And I'm here to tell you that there's a lot more there. And we can go there. And there's things that I'm believing God for you. And you will go way, 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 way farther than you ever thought you were going to go. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now. I pray for these people. I pray that the same anointing that comes on me comes on them. Let them be fully, fully engaged in your divine prosperity, your divine life. The prosperity that's not just financial, prosperity of life that is a witness into all the world. Father, I engage them right now. Let them know your anointing and your voice to bring them up into the greatness that you've called the church at large. Let these be a people who nothing holds them back, and they stand at the front of what you are doing in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I release them into your hands. Let them be filled with you and your plans in your glory, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory be to God forever.